Fabulous. Great to be here with you this morning. I think it's my first time with you as a church on a Sunday. So it's a privilege for me always to get invited to do these sorts of things. I'm Russell. I'm married to Janet. We live in South Essex in sunny Thurrock. It's a bit grey and flat and industrial, but it's home and we thank God for it. So that's always a wonderful thing. We have five children. They're all adults now, so they look after themselves, which is great. And two grandchildren as well, which are beautiful. Some of you know what that's like, so I'm a happy man. And I work for, I've led a church for 20, 25 years. In fact, Barney Coombs, who planted this church, used to come down to our church back in the day and preach. He was mates with my old man. Isn't that incredible? So there we go. Most of you probably don't know who Barney Coombs is, do you? Oh, you do? Oh, great, great. That's good. So I led that church after Mum and Dad went to Uganda for about 20 years. And then I finished up about 3.5 years ago to work for an organization that we call Move UK. And we work to multiply new disciples and new churches everywhere across the UK until there's no place left. No place left. Okay? So we're going to look together at Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 9, and verse 25 to 29. So if you've got your Bible, it'd be great. And you're going to need a partner. Now, if you don't like the person you're sitting next to, you can come and fill in one of these seats at the front and sit next to somebody else. But what I'd like you to do is just with the person you're with, just turn up the passage and just read that together out loud. Mark 4, verse 1 to 9, and then verse 25 to 29. Off you go. You've got a couple of minutes, that's all. If you haven't got a Bible, but you have a smartphone, just search Bible and you'll find a great one there. I can help you with that. Okay, it's going quiet again. You're there. That's good. So here we see that parable of the sower. And we know that ultimately that sower, this farmer, this worker, you like my pictures? You like his hat, yeah. We know that ultimately they see a great harvest, don't they? They gather something in. Don't we all want to see that here? Do you want to see a harvest of new disciples right across Basingstoke? That's what we're here for, guys. We call this the core missionary task. Do you know it's why churches exist? You know the kindest thing anybody ever did to you? Malcolm mentioned it. Kindest thing anybody ever did for you, they shared Jesus with you. And you were able to respond and turn and believe and follow Jesus. And that's what everybody in this town needs. It's the answer to everything. It really is the answer to everything. And this is a great harvest that we're here to labor for. And Jesus was showing us this, I believe. And let me just suggest, Jesus is sharing a story, an analogy, a way of life that was agricultural, which made absolute sense there in the first century. But does it make sense in the 21st? Absolutely. This story makes sense in the 21st century. I mean, we're not agricultural people here. Probably, maybe some farmers have imported to Basingstoke, maybe. I know literally nothing about farming, but I can get this story. I understand it. Okay? And Jesus is showing us a pattern that he lived out, and that then the 12 lived out, and all of their disciples lived out, and then Paul and his teams lived out, and the outcome of everything they lived was what? A great harvest of disciples across the world. A movement began. Okay, this is incredible. And do you know where it all started? In this story. It just started with a man sowing some seed. Just a farmer type. Just a simple person. Now this person, he had a heart for the work. Yeah? If we relate this to disciples, we'll have a heart for the Lord and His work. We'll be praying. We'll be seeking after God with all of our hearts. Our hearts will be right. Yeah? But you know, we just need to enter the field. You see, because all around us, there are empty fields where the kingdom of God is not growing. Can you think of somewhere near you where the kingdom of God is not growing? Anyone?
Next door.
Where else? Families in your street. Yeah. Colleagues at work. In fact, across Britain today, did you know? Here's a statistic for you. Did you know 95% of people are far from God? We're not a Christian country. Comes. We're nowhere near it. We're as secular comes. We are far from God. And this is the brutal facts. Basingstoke is far from God. It really is. In fact, 95 of every 100 people you meet, they're not following Jesus at all. Yeah? If there's 100 houses on your street with 100 people living in them, easily 95 of them are far from God. It's desperate, folks. It really is desperate. And why do we exist? To enter that field where nothing's growing. God's at work, because He's at work everywhere, but nothing's growing at the moment. Do you know how many people there are in Basingstoke? It's a good question. We said 150,000 yesterday, not 150. We've got Basingstoke and all the surrounding villages here just in the room. It's 150,000 people. Do you know how many of those people are far from God? 95%. Does anyone know that in a number? Who are the maths? Who are the... Oh, you don't have to know maths even. You just need a smartphone with a calculator. 7,500 are following Jesus. Thank you. So 142,500 are far from God. Wow. Isn't that incredible? Wow. That's amazing. Do you know how to get in front of those people and share with them? Does anyone know? It's desperate when the church doesn't know how to get in front of people far from God and share with them. I mean, that just shows us. I'm not trying to make us feel bad. I'm really not, honestly. You need to get out there. You need to enter the field and get in front of people. Do you know what we do? Every day of our lives, this is what our work involves. Smile at people all the time. And I walk up to them. I say, hello, mate. Nice to meet you.
And you.
What's your name?
Jim,
I'm Russell. This is my friend Andy.
Hi, Andy.
We're just caring for our community today.
Absolutely.
Could we pray for you?
Yeah.
You sure?
I need it.
Okay.
Even now.
What would you like us to pray for? What do you need prayer for, man?
Pray for my family, basically.
Okay, can we pray now? Mm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So we just met Jim on the high street. Mm. Or maybe he was a neighbor in my neighborhood. Or maybe Jim's my friend. It's great to see you today, man. How are you doing today? How's the family?
Yeah, they're all right. Yeah, they're doing well.
Could we pray for them again?
Absolutely. Keep it up.
Boom, we're off. We're up and running. We're in front of somebody who's far from God. And guess what we're having?
A conversation.
A conversation. You might want to call it like a spiritual conversation or a Christ-centered conversation. Yeah, but all of a sudden, just an ordinary hello turned into, we love you, we care about you, could we pray for you? And everywhere you do that, do you know how many people respond and say, yeah, that'd be great? Do you know? Bang on. We even find consistently 60% of people say yes to prayer. They honestly go and knock on a door in your neighborhood and say hi to your neighbor and tell them you've been thinking about them and could me and my wife pray for you? Just see what they say. Go knock on every door before Christmas, deliver your Christmas card in person and say, could we pray that you guys have a great Christmas? Just watch what they say. I would bet on it. I'd bet my tithes on it. I really would, honestly. So why don't we just, if you're up for this, why don't you just stand up? If you're up for it, if you don't want to do this, it's fine. I'm not going to. And you don't need to move too far. But just wander across the aisle or back a row and just say hi to somebody. And just practice that line. Hi, I'm caring for my community. Could I pray for you? And then you can pray a real prayer for the person you're talking to. Just practice that. Just have a go. Off you go. We haven't got a lot of time for this, but just have a go. They're a good bunch. This is lovely. It's great.
It's good to get people like here.
Yeah, go on. This works every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
That's it, absolutely. Yeah.
You could talk to anybody if you smile, shake their hand and offer to pray for them. You could talk to anybody.
Me and my mother started to play badminton every day.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Amen. Amen. Okay. Praise God. So on Thursday this week, just gone, we jumped in the car and we drove about an hour and a half from where I live to go and visit some teammates, Steve and Debbie. Steve and Debbie were on our team. So we drove in the car to visit Steve and Deb, and they've just moved to this new town. They've been there 3 weeks. So we just went to hang out with Steve, spend the day with him, and kickstart what we call the work there, just by heading out, getting in front of people, smiling, saying hello, caring for the community, offering to pray. So we walked down the high street with Steve. Paul and I went into the charity shop to have a wander around. You do that in other towns. Like this was quite a nice town. So if you go in charity shops in nicer towns, you get better stuff. It's just simple. My wife's taught me that. So we're in the charity shop, Paul and I, and I come out,
And Steve's standing there talking to this lady with the dog. So he's just patting the dog. So we all gather around and pat the dog. And then Steve says, just stands up, looks at this lady, says, "Oh, these are my mates. This is Russ and this is Paul. I'm Steve. We're just caring for the community today. Could we pray for you?" Do you know what? Her face beamed. And she says, "Yeah, that'd be lovely." Steve said, "What could we pray for?" And she reeled off things about her family.
Right.
Sickness and some serious problems. And so he says, "All right, if we just pray now." So we just stood there with this lady and the dog and Paul and me and Steve and prayed. And then her husband came out of the shop. So we prayed with him. And then two other people walked down the road who knew them and they stopped. And guess what we did with them? We prayed with them. Do you know what? Like literally 500 metres down the road, in a brand new town where Steve and Debbie have just moved, and what are we doing? We're engaging people that are far from God just by saying hello and offering to pray. So I just want you to think of one person this week. One person that you know. Maybe tomorrow you're going to go to work. Who could you smile at, say hello to, take some care over? But early in the conversation, just offer to pray for them. Who could you do that for? Just turn to the person next to you and just say, "I'm going to pray for Sylvia. I'm going to pray for Fred." Just make a commitment. If you can. I'm not going to force you. I can't check up on you. Okay. Good job. We call that goal setting. Okay. And one of the things all of our churches, when they then get back together in a few days' time, guess what we ask each other? We ask each other how you got on going and praying for the friend that you were going to pray for. And we ask you. We look you in the eye, Jim, and we ask you lovingly. We're not going to beat you up. Okay. And this is happening every day, everywhere in Britain. Malcolm mentioned the openness. Malcolm's not lying. Malcolm's telling the truth. The church has probably been deceived for many years. People are very open to care, prayer, and the gospel, actually. It's incredible. I never thought this could happen when I was a pastor. I'm so glad you're learning it. Because I didn't know when I was leading a church that you could do this. Okay. Now, in the story, what does the farmer do in that field? He sows seed, doesn't he? Now, I've heard people say, they've actually preached sermons where they've said the farmer was foolish because he sowed everywhere. He sowed on the pathway, the rocky, shallow soil, the weedy soil, and the good soil. I don't think the farmer was foolish. It's a story of Jesus. I don't think Jesus is foolish. I think Jesus is right. Okay? If you sow generously, what do you get? You get a generous harvest, don't you? And if you sow sparingly, what do you get? Small harvest. It's simple. It's very simple. So what we say is this: why not sow everywhere, as much as you possibly can? Sow generously. Here's something else we do. You notice how we filter out. Well, I'm not gonna share with him because I don't like his blue jumper, and he's looking at me funny. I'm not going to share with him. So, oh, maybe. And she is. She's pleasant and kind, and she is. She is. Absolutely. Yes. But you notice how we're always filtering out who we might or might not share with, based on what sort of mood they're in, or the look they give us, or the clothes they're wearing, or whether they've got tattoos, or whether they're young, or whether they're old, or, you know, whatever. We say this, don't do that. Just share generously everywhere. And it would become obvious if Jim's ready to hear, because he'll let you share. And if he doesn't want you to share, he might say, no, it's all right, thanks very much. And that's usually the extent of it. I mean, I've been threatened a couple of times in the last year, but that's all. And they were drug dealers, and they don't like us going after them anyway. You can imagine, we're interrupting their trade, yeah? And they're usually younger men than me and stronger than men and harder than me. So they get a bit aggressive. But typically, people say, no, it's all right, I'm not really into that, thanks very much. And that's the level of persecution. Yeah?
Yeah.
And Malcolm said, you might get rejected. And I've got a wonderful pastoral line for that. Get over yourself. Just don't worry about it. Like, who said you might be rejected if you follow Jesus? Who said that? Oh, right. Yeah, Jesus actually said you might even be rejected for speaking in my name. Wow. Okay, so I'd like to be up there with those who follow Jesus. Yeah? That would be great. So just share generously. And we've got another question that we always ask. So we've just met Jim, and Andy and I have just prayed for him. And we're having a great time, just maybe standing on the high street or sitting in a bar or over the fence. And our next question is always this. Jim, thanks for letting us pray. Could I show you how I came near to God? Please do. You sure? And we always carry like maybe some cards around. We've always got like these index, I've scribbled on that one. But we always carry these index cards in our pocket and a pen. And we just pull them out. And guess what we share with Jim? Three circles. Anyone heard about the three circles? Yeah? Are you getting a bit fed up with hearing about the three circles? We were in a church a little way back, and somebody had actually written to the leadership team this formal letter to say, when are you guys going to stop talking about the gospel and the three circles? And they're like, we're not. Not ever. So, get over yourself. So, we just encourage people, just once you've prayed for Jim or your friend this week, just remember the next question and just ask. You're just offering to share with everybody you meet. Now, do you know how many people say yes to hearing the gospel? Honestly, realistically, we're fine. We're tracking this 45 to 60%. You know, if they're your friends and they know you, you're going to actually find more traction, more openness to you sharing. You're a friend. Yeah? They'll listen to you, even if they don't agree. But you know, even with strangers. So the other week, Janet and I, Thursday, we have 2 hours. We call it in the harvest. So we go out on our housing estate. We live on an ex-council housing estate. And it's quite a nice little place, maybe about 500 houses. And about every year, 18 months, we try and knock on every door, every door. So it's the third time we've been around our housing estate. So Jan and I are out just 2-3 weeks ago, Thursday afternoon for 2 hours. And we knock on this door, maybe 600 metres from my front door. And this young, sort of 30-year-old guy answers the door, Bradley. Hi, Bradley. I'm Russ. This is Janet. We're caring for our neighbourhood. We live around the corner. Could we pray for you? He says, yeah, that'd be great. Just like that, honestly, just like that. So anything you'd like us to pray for? Yeah, my girlfriend and I, we've just moved in 2 months ago. And we're just buying this house. But also, we've just split up. So the relationship's broken down. Can you pray? We can pray for that. So we pray for Bradley. And then I say to Bradley, after praying for him, thanks, buddy. Could we show you how we came near to God? He says, standing on the doorstep, it's winter, it's cold. He's never met us before. He says, yeah, go on then. And we stand there for the next 5 or 10 minutes and we just get out our index cards and we draw the gospel. And at the end, we ask him, where are you, Bradley? He says, I'm in brokenness. We say, where would you like to be? He smiled, as people often do, and he said, wow, I'd love to be in God's plan for my life. So I looked him in the eye, said, Bradley, is there anything stopping you today? Come in, turn in, follow in Jesus with the rest of your life. And he wasn't sure. He needed to think about it. He wasn't ready. And that's fine. I'm not going to bash him for that. Like, because the seed's good, yeah? Yeah, sometimes you can hit them over the head with your Bible, but we've not found that to be particularly fruitful or effective. I mean, give it a try, you know. We say to people, try it 100 times and see how you get on. I prefer our way. So he can reject, that's fine, but we said to Bradley, would it be okay if we came back in a couple of weeks and shared some more with you? And do you know what Bradley said? He said, knock any time, guys. That'd be lovely. If I'm home, I'd love to talk to you. So where were we last Thursday? We went and knocked on Bradley's door. And guess what we said? Hi. We're out caring for our community again. Could we pray for you today? He's like, yeah, go on then. So we pray again. And then we talked about the 3 circles again. Didn't draw it again, but we talked about it. And then I said, could I share another story of Jesus with you? He says, yeah. He said, I'm going to work in 15 minutes. I said, oh, it'll take 3 or 4 minutes. So I told him the story of Zacchaeus. And we did a Discovery Bible study, standing on Bradley's doorstep. And Bradley invited us back to do it again. 3-4 weeks ago, we've never met Bradley. He's new to our community. And all we did was go and knock on some doors and smile at our neighbours and offer to pray. And I think, personally, we're beginning to make a disciple of Bradley. Because we're praying like crazy. Because we have a heart for the work, guys. And we're going to pray and fast for the work until God moves and produces new disciples. That's what we're going to do. Because if you sow seed of the gospel, what will God give you? A harvest of new disciples. And if you sow generously, you'll see more disciples. And if you sow sparingly, you'll see less. And it'll just take you longer to transform Basingstoke. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay? And this happens everywhere, all the time. Well, we're out of time. Running short. How long have I got?
5 minutes.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
You guys good to go? Okay. Now, the farmer went home, didn't he? And he slept. And what happened to the seed that he'd sown in his field? Started growing. And it says in the passage there, the farmer did not know how. Who brought about the growth? People say to me all the time, Russ, how do you get people to follow Jesus? And do you know what the answer to that is? You don't. That's not your responsibility. Whose responsibility is it to touch people's lives, to transform hearts, to turn them around, to forgive them of sin, to make them new, to call them as a disciple? Whose responsibility is that? God's. By the Spirit and the Word planted in their lives. Okay, the two authorities, Spirit and Word. But what do you have to do? You have to sow, guys. You have to sow. We have to do the bits we do. And God does the bits he can do. We have to, and he prayed it. God, we want to cooperate with you in your work in this town. Guys, this is the work. Get in the field. Start sharing the gospel. And just watch what God does. God will give you new disciples. God will do it. Because disciples always come out of the sowing of good seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. Nothing wrong with the seed. I tell you. So what God raises up is new disciples, this new growth. Okay, and we begin to see this happening everywhere. Okay? And I liken discipleship here to nurturing and protecting the new growth. That sounds like caring for new disciples, doesn't it? Nurture and protect and feed and encourage more growth. Yeah? Feed them with the Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. And they'll grow. Yeah? Now, some will fall away. We're seeing that. It's desperate. It'll break your heart. Yeah? Okay? But you just head back to God. He'll restore your heart for the work. Always. Okay? So I might have told this story before, but Janet met Jasmine in our town more than 2.5 years ago. Jasmine's a little Chinese lady about our age. Her English was incredibly poor, and the first day we prayed for her and shared the gospel with her, we walked away and looked at each other and said, for goodness sake, what was the point of that? We just weren't getting through. We met Jasmine 3 or 4 more times, and every time, guess what we did? We did the same thing and just shared. Then one day, we're sitting in church that we attend, and she comes and sits next to us. We're like, how does that happen? So at the end of that meeting, we pray for her and share the gospel with her again. And then Janet arranges to meet her for coffee. And Janet meets her every week for coffee. And guess what Janet does? She prays for her, she cares for her, and she shares with her. Now she starts sharing stories of Jesus with her using Discovery Bible Study. Okay, but they meet every week. A year later, Janet walks in the front door, middle of August last year. She's got a big smile on her face. Russ, guess what happened today? I'm like, what? What happened? Jasmine has turned and believed on Jesus. It took a year, guys. A year. But you know what? God brings growth. God brings the seed to life. You just have to be faithful to the work. Just pray like crazy, yeah? Fast for the work. Get in front of people and keep sharing. Just keep at it. God will do amazing things. Janet still meets Jasmine. Every 2 weeks, Janet's on a different shift pattern these days. They meet every 2 weeks. Janet is making a disciple of Jasmine. Jasmine's Chinese, and guess who she shares the gospel with? All her Chinese friends who live in China. She has no family here. She gets on Skype, and everything Janet teaches Jasmine, Janet teaches her family who are atheists in China. They grew up under Chairman Mao. Chairman Mao, he said Jesus is a myth. That's all she used to say to us. Jesus is a myth. And she would laugh at us. But we just kept sharing. And God transforms lives, guys. And then you just teach them. Just teach them to gather. You know what a gathering is, don't you? Gather them together as communities of new disciples. Okay? What are those communities called in the New Testament? Churches. And what do we call them? Churches. Okay? It doesn't matter where they meet or when they meet, but gather them together as church. Now, you can drag them along to this church and do that. Do that as much as you can. Or you could meet with them down on the estate in their house at their time, at their place, with their family. And guess what? If it's a few people in the name of Jesus learning to follow him, what do you call that? Church. Call it what it is, guys. It's church. Okay? Just start teaching them together. And we're finding that happens Everywhere. People are joining churches. People are forming new churches. The work carries on. So we met Marcia in our town. We knocked on her door last year. Marcia's a single mum with four young kids. And she's right backslidden. She's far from God. We knock on her door and she was shaking as we offered to pray for her. And she said, yes, please pray for me. I'm far from God. We're like, okay, so we pray. And then we share the gospel with her. And guess what she does? On hearing the gospel, she rededicates her life to following Jesus. And then she says to us straight away, where does your church gather? And we said, over there in that flat. That was Edward and Mercy's house. Flat, just down the road. When are you meeting there next? We're going to be, this was Wednesday at her house. I said, we're going to be there Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock. Can I come with the kids? Yeah, you can come with the kids. That week, she joined our church. She has not stopped following Jesus. We baptized all her kids who are now following Jesus. Okay, and she's following Jesus. She was escaping an abusive marriage. Her previous husband had been into witchcraft, and she was experiencing in the middle of the night the effects of witchcraft curses on her and her family and her house. We spent the night praying with her, and guess what? She's free of witchcraft. She's following Jesus. She's just moved to a new city. The council moved her because we don't have enough housing in Thurrock. Okay? So they found a house for her in Widnes between Liverpool and Manchester. So 3 months ago, she moved there. We were on a call with her on Thursday night, and guess what Marcia is doing in Widnes? She's praying like crazy. She's entering the new town. She's finding people and sharing. And guess what she's got? She got a new disciple. Incredible. She says, I met this lady. She's just moved into town as well. I offered to pray for her. She said, yes. I'm meeting at her house every Sunday. We're going through the studies with the Discovery Bible study. It's incredible what God's doing, she says. It's amazing. Isn't that incredible? See, because every farmer knows you can live off some of the harvest here. You can consume it or spend it. But what you also do is you take 50% of it and you invest it into the work. You see, because the work has to carry on. The work has to multiply. If you consume everything now, you've got no seed for next season. The harvest ends. That's it. It's a one-time thing. So we invest in Marcia, who moves to a new city. And within a year, she's in a new city, a single mum, on her own, escaping an abusive husband with the effects of witchcraft. She's responsible for her four children. She's painted a new house that the council have given her. She's making her own way. She's sharing the gospel and making disciples there in a new city. This can happen everywhere. And this is the work that Jesus did. And this is the work that Jesus is calling us to. Is there anyone you could go and share the gospel with this week? You're going to go pray for somebody because you love them and care for them. Could you ask them the next question? Could you imagine yourself just saying, Jim, can I show you how I came near to God? And if you haven't practiced the three circles, get one of the Catalyst people to show you how to do it. And share that this week with someone you know that's far from God. My time is done. We're finished. This is the work that Jesus set out for us. This is the pattern he lived. And as a result of this pattern, there are disciples all over the world, transforming communities. Let's just head back to the beginning, guys. If we want to see new disciples here in Basingstoke, pray like crazy. Care for them, pray for them. Share the gospel and invite them to follow Jesus. And then devote yourself to meeting with them or bringing them so that they can learn with you to follow Jesus. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. God bless you guys. We're cheering you on. Thank you.
Thanks, Russ. Great.